Welcome to the NTEB Prophecy News Podcast with your host and Bible teacher, Jeffrey Greider. Rightly divided, dispensationally correct, and standing on the authority of the King James Holy Bible, this program is brought to you by NowTheEndBegins.com.
And good afternoon, happy 2023, everybody, and welcome to this very first Prophecy News podcast broadcast for 2023. We praise the Lord for his faithfulness to us. 2020 was the year that shocked the world. 2021 was the year that shot the world. And 2022 was the year where shadowy figures and denizens of the night were revealed for who they really are. So where are we now? Well, it just might be 23 skidoo. Whoso readeth, let him understand. So I thought that I would look into the coming days of 2023 through the filter of your King James Bible, and that just might be the perfect podcast to kick things off. We're going to visit our old friend Habakkuk, Habakkuk chapter 1, verse 5. Behold ye among the heathen, and regard and wonder marvelously, for I will work a work in your days which ye will not believe, though it be told you. On this episode of the Prophecy News Podcast, the fire that was kindled in 2020 is now a raging bonfire, and it has engulfed the entire earth. The trusty Habakkuk has a handle on what's happening in our day, and we would do well to heed his warning. Today in the Prophecy News Podcast, the first one of 2023, we shall run to and fro, and knowledge shall be increased regarding the events of the last days before the removal of the church from off the face of the earth. What will we be showing you today? Well, not much. Just a mind-blowing discovery that has been revealed in Israel for the first time in 2,000 years. The coming 15-minute city, Benjamin Netanyahu making a historic trip to the UAE to discuss the Abraham Accords after being miraculously reelected, eye-popping truth about the COVID vaccine, the coming two-state solution, the rebuilding of the Jewish temple, and what the New World Order has been working on while you've been sleeping. All this and so much more in the first edition of the 2023 Prophecy News Podcast. Heavenly Father, we come before you, Lord, and we thank you. We just thank you, God, for your faithfulness. And Lord, we start the 14th year of the ministry that you've called us to. 14 years, Lord, of Now the End Begins, and we thank you and we praise you. We lift up Anetta for a full healing after a stroke. Robert Wiley battling ALS disease. Elena Blackburn, she's pregnant, and we're praying that she will carry to full term and the baby will come out when the Lord decides it's the right time. Jeanette's cousin Andrew had a stroke, and we're praying for him. Rob Beatty's colon cancer has returned, and we're praying for our brother Rob. We are praying for Clayton Perry, who is battling chemotherapy. We are praying for Dina Kruger's mom, Marcy, who is recovering from chemotherapy after colon cancer. We're praying for Ashley to get saved. We're praying for Kate about her housing situation. We're praying for Mark Saxa regarding his son, Joseph, that he would return to the Lord. And we're praying for Rita and her ongoing witness with her family in Minnesota. Casey wrote to me this morning and said, please pray for my husband Michael's salvation and freedom from addiction. She also said, my younger sister Rachel is missing. Haven't heard from her since April. She lives in Alaska. Nobody has seen or heard from her in months. I am very worried. So please pray for Casey's husband Michael to get saved and her younger sister Rachel to be returned. Joni says, I'm realizing every relationship in my life is messed up, so it must be me. I can't blame anybody else. I pray that God would give me wisdom and understanding and healed relationships. And, you know, that's a really, really good prayer that Joni is asking for. Why is it so good? Because she's taking responsibility. She said, I'm realizing that every relationship in my life is messed up, so it must be me. You know, When you pray, it's always a good idea. Anything that goes wrong in your life, maybe it's the devil, maybe it's not, but maybe it's you. And Joni has the right handle on things. She said, I can't blame anybody else. Please pray that God would give me wisdom and understanding. And what a great prayer that is, that we come before the Lord and say, Lord, forgive me. I'm sure that I messed it up in some way. Lord, please fix it for me. And that's the hope that the Christian has. We have an advocate with the Father. Jeanette says, praise report for my mom. She is much better and back to her normal self. Thank you for all of your prayers. Also, please keep Lori Ann and her two kids, Haley and Liam, in your prayers. They're getting ready to move into their new house over the next 2 weeks or so. And they're there right now fixing it up and working on it. So please keep Lori Ann and Liam and Haley in your prayers as they get ready to move into the miracle home that God has provided for them. Amanda says, so many needs, Lord, and so many prayers. We need you, Jesus. Amen. Trisha says, we need to pray for the Lord to show us our own faults. Yes, we do. And that is just, that's just a, such a good way to get honest with the Lord. Heath says, I pray the Lord would open my family's eyes. Some are so very deceived. And we have a full chat room today, and I thank the Lord for the increase and for the harvest. And Father God, we just come before you. All these prayers and the unspoken prayers of our hearts, Lord, it's a new year, it's a new day, it's our very first podcast. And Lord, when I was riding over in the car today, I was praying to you and asking you, Lord, to do something for us in this year that would help us to bring your word to a lost and dying world and increase our witness, expand our borders, enlarge our coasts. And Father God, we'll just give you all the honor and the glory for it because you are worthy. Bruce Bridges says, please pray for my exchange students, Elena and Milena. They remain unsaved, and they now have worldly friends. And we've been praying for them for many, many months, maybe probably close to a year now. And we will continue to lift them up before the Lord, everything in God's time. And Father God, we commit this time to you and thank you and praise you. In Jesus' name, amen, amen. Well, welcome everybody to the first podcast, the very first podcast of 2023, and we're excited. We're glad to be here. I had a great vacation week last week, and thank you so much for everybody who was praying for me. And I am recharged, I am energized, I am ready to go, and I am excited to see what the Lord is going to do with Now the End Begins in this new year. For those of you that were tuning in on Saturday, 104,152. What number is that? That's the number of free Bibles, New Testaments, and scripture portions that God used all of us to hand out in 2022. 104,152 free Bibles, New Testaments, and scripture portions in 2022. And we not only reached 100,000, we went past it by nearly 5,000. And that to me is God's sustaining, miraculous faithfulness. God calls us to do this work, and then he gives us the resources that we need. He gives us the people that we need. He gives us absolutely everything that we need to get the job done. You know what the Bible says in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5? 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, 23 and 24, Paul says, and the very God of peace sanctify you wholly, And I pray, God, your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Faithful is he that calleth you, who also will do it. And we give God all the honor and the glory and the praise. I'm going to post that picture again in the chat room. I like seeing those numbers. 104,152 King James Bibles, New Testaments, and Scripture portions. They went out to over 20 different jails, prisons, and detention facilities. They went out to about 20 different countries outside of America. They went out to pastors and missionaries in Peru and Mexico, in Uganda, in Vietnam, in the Philippines, in Haiti, in India, in Ireland. They went out to almost every one of the 50 states. That's exactly what God used us to do in 2022. 104,152. And we are not resting on our laurels. We are set and we are on our way towards 1 million. 1 million, mind you. 1 million free King James Bibles, New Testaments, and Scripture portions. And I'm excited for that. And if you didn't listen to our Saturday night New Year's Eve broadcast, please go back and listen to that. That is so very exciting. And we are headed towards 1 million free King James Bibles. Now, you might say to me, hey, brother, that's a crazy number. 1 million Bibles from Now the End Begins? Well, let me tell you something. In 2021, God used us to hand out 11,411 Bibles. And in 2022, God increased that amount by 1,000% or 10 times the amount. So all God has to do is take what we did in 2022 and do with it what he did by increasing it 10 times, and we'll be at 1 million Bibles. Rapture 57 says, can we get free Bibles sent to neighbors and other individuals who we feel may need them? Actually, yes, you can. If you just go to BibleBeliever.com, and we'll get on with the podcast and the prophecy in just a minute. But I would be remiss if I did not take a little bit of a victory lap for the Lord, with all of you, with the amazing thing that God allowed us to do in 2022 with 104,000 plus Bibles. And that is so exciting to me. So very, very exciting that we just have to take a little bit of a victory lap. Regina Danner is asking, are the chaplains the only one who can get Bibles for prisons? Yes, and let me tell you why. Let me tell you why. Because you just can't send something to a prison if there is not authorization on the inside to receive it. And let me give you a really good example of that. Remember last year when I went down to the Fort St. Lucie luncheon and they asked me to be the keynote speaker, and I had such a good time down there with my friend Virginia, who just became a chaplain herself, and that's such a blessing. But when I went down there to the jail and I gave that talk, a woman came up to me and she gave me the name of her son and the name of the jail that her son was in, and she asked me if we could send him a Bible. So I said, sure, we'll send him a Bible. And I gave that information to the bookstore, and then 1 week later, that Bible came back because nobody had authorized that shipment to that person. So unfortunately, the only way that we can send Bibles, and if you're a chaplain, I want you to listen to me. If you are a chaplain and you want Bibles for your facility, go to BiblesBehindBars.com, and Jeanette will put the link into the chat room. Go to BiblesBehindBars.com and send me an email, and we will start the process of getting you free King James Bibles, New Testaments, and scripture portions for your facility. But it has to come from inside the prison. We cannot... Rapture is asking, I sent one of my sons in a prison in North Carolina. Did it come back to you? If Lorianne is paying attention to the chat room, she could answer that question. I don't know. I actually don't work at the bookstore. But I don't know if that Bible came back from North Carolina. But if you are a chaplain or you're a pastor and you want Bibles to go to a jail, just go to BiblesBehindBars.com and send us an email. Karen is asking, hospitals would be a good place to send Bibles also. Yes, remember last year we sent all those Bibles to that hospital system in Alabama? I forget the man's name, but Tricia might remember who that was. There was a pastor who asked for a couple of cases of King James Bibles to be sent to two different hospitals in Alabama, and we did that. So we can send the Bibles to anywhere they need to go, but if it's going to go to a jail, a detention center, a migrant facility, or a prison, there has to be somebody on the inside requesting those Bibles, because if not, they're going to get sent back and we're going to waste about $1,000 in shipping. So that's how that gets done. Berta Crabb is asking, how is Scriptures for Soldiers going? Well, that is on the docket for 2023. That is on the docket for 2023. My main focus, look, there's a brother named Eric, and he donated a bunch of money for the billboard program. And I promised that brother that we were going to put a billboard up, but I got so focused on the free Bible program and so obsessed, could we reach 100,000 Bibles? I didn't have time to work on his billboards, but if you're listening, brother, your billboards, Lord willing, are absolutely going up. I have the information. The first one is going to go up in Bradenton. And just be patient. Bear with me. There is so much going on. There is so much to do. But we are going forward. Now, just to let you know, in 2021, we handed out 11,411 Bibles. In 2022, we handed out 104,152. And that is a total of 115,563. 115,563. So if you subtract that from a million, you get 884,437 Bibles, and that's where we are today. So, we need your help, we need your prayers, we need your support, and if you are able to contribute financially, please go to NowTheEndBegins.com and click on any of the donation buttons, and please be as generous as you possibly can be. Possibly can be, because that's the only way that we're going to reach our goal of 1 million Bibles, New Testaments, and scripture portions that we have taken before the Lord. And the Bible says, and I believe it, faithful is he that calleth you. Do I believe that God has called us to the free Bible program and the billboard program and a global ministry witness around the world? Do I believe that God has called me and you to do that? I absolutely do with every fiber of my being. Paul says, faithful is he that calleth you, who also will do it. And we commit that to God. We commit that to prayer. And it's going to be God's people banding together in the end times to accomplish God's work. And I am excited. I am charged up. I am energized. I'm going to be 62 years old this year. And the day before my earthly birthday is my spiritual birthday, March 14th. And on March 14th, I will have been saved for 32 years, just about half of my life. And let me tell you something. I am more excited right now, January 2nd, 2023, I am more excited today for Bible prophecy than I have ever been at any time in my entire life. Do you realize, and let's get into the podcast now, do you realize that you and I are the generation that is going to see Jesus Christ come back for his church? Do you realize that that's me and that's you? Paul was talking to us when he said this. 1 Thessalonians 4:15, "For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first." And here he is, verse 17, he's talking to me and you. "Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words." I'm not calling the rapture. I'm not predicting the date of the rapture. But let me tell you something. 2023 seems like a fantastic year for that blessed event to take place. Have you ever looked up what the expression 23 skidoo means? My friend Pastor Dave from the Solid Rock Baptist Church up in New Jersey, he sent me this a couple of months ago. 23 skidoo is an American slang expression referring to, and I quote, "leaving quickly, being forced to leave quickly by somebody else, or taking advantage of a propitious opportunity to leave." 23 skidoo has been described as perhaps the first truly national fad expression and one of the most popular expressions to ever appear in the U.S. lexicon. 23 skidoo, referring to leaving quickly, being forced to leave quickly, or taking advantage of a propitious opportunity to leave. And I believe that 2023 has all the earmarks and all the hallmarks of what we need to see in order for us to get our flying papers and get on and get up out of here. Song of Solomon, chapter 2, starting in verse 8, verse 7. Song of Solomon, chapter 2, starting in verse 7. "I charge you, O ye daughters of Jerusalem, by the rose and by the hinds of the field, that ye stir not up, nor awake my love till he please." When is Jesus coming back? He's coming back when he pleases. He's coming back when the Father says, "Go get your bride." "The voice of my beloved, behold, he cometh leaping upon the mountains, skipping upon the hills. My beloved is like a roe or a young hart. Behold, he standeth behind our wall. He looketh forth at the window, showing himself through the lattice. My beloved spake and said unto me, rise up, my love, my fair one, and come away." Now, I submit to you that there has never been a year in the 32 years that I've been saved that is as ripe for the pre-tribulation rapture of the church as 2023 is. Now, if you've ever been to my Twitter channel, I have been on Twitter for the past 13 years under Now the End Begins. And shortly after I first started posting and first started talking about the end times and talking about the Obama government and all these things, I reached a lot of followers quickly. And then it kind of leveled off, and then it kind of stopped. And then all the tweets that I would make, I would get 5 people liking a tweet. I would get 8 people liking a tweet. I would post a video, and I would get 7 people watching the video. And for the longest time, I thought to myself, why am I even bothering to be on Twitter? They have me locked down. They have me shadow banned. I should just delete my account because nobody is paying attention. Well, 2 weeks ago, I decided to spend $8 per month and get myself one of those blue check marks that comes with what they call a verified account. And I got myself the blue check. I paid my $8 and I got myself my blue check mark. And I sat back and waited to see what would happen. And for a couple of days, there really wasn't much of a change at all. And then, about 4 days ago, I posted a video. And I'm going to play the audio clip in just a moment for this video that I posted. Now, for 13 years, I would post videos, I would post podcasts, I would post links to Now the End Begins, and I would never, ever, ever get more than 20 people liking a post. This video that I posted last week after getting my little $8 blue check mark, it has been liked 3,064 times. It has been retweeted 1,568 times. 169 people have commented. It has had 123,000 interactions. And this video has been viewed 59,900 times. Now, don't you wonder what video I posted that got that type of views? I'm going to play this video for you right now. This is the video, the first video I posted after getting my blue check mark. This is what is burning up my Twitter channel right now.
There's been over a 20-to-1 return.
If you had put that money into an S&P 500 and reinvested the dividends, you'd come up with something like $17 billion, but you think it's $200 billion.
Here, yeah.
You're okay. You're not going to get COVID if you have these vaccinations.
These vaccines are highly, highly effective.
Vaccinated people do not carry the virus, don't get sick.
They're really, really good against variants.
Everyone who takes the vaccine is not just protecting themselves, but reducing their transmission to other people and allowing society to get back to normal.
Get your first shot, and when you're due for your second, get your second shot.
A key goal is to stop the transmission, to get the immunity levels up so that you get almost no infection going on whatsoever.
When people are vaccinated, they can feel safe that they are not going to get infected.
If you're vaccinated, you're not going to be hospitalized, you're not going to be in an ICU unit, and you're not going to die.
If you are fully vaccinated, you no longer need to wear a mask.
Anyone who is fully vaccinated can participate in indoor and outdoor activities, large or small, without wearing a mask or physical distancing.
But what they can't do anymore is prevent transmission.
You know, we didn't have vaccines that block transmission. We got vaccines that help you with your health, but they only slightly reduce the transmissions. We need a new way of doing the vaccine.
The level of virus in the nasopharynx of a person who's vaccinated and infected is the same level as the level of virus in the nasopharynx of an unvaccinated person.
Reports from our international colleagues, including Israel, suggest increased risk of severe disease amongst those vaccinated early.
And if you look at Israel, which has always been a month to a month and a half ahead of us, they are seeing a waning of immunity, not only against infection, but against hospitalizations and to some extent death. A booster might actually be an essential part of the primary regimen that people should have.
The plan is for every adult to get a booster shot.
Clearly one of the best investments I've ever been involved in.
So I entitled that little video called "The Lies That We Were Told About the COVID Vaccine During the Pandemic." You know, today is January 2nd, and my fourth suspension from YouTube is scheduled to be lifted this afternoon. Why was our why was our YouTube channel suspended four separate times during the year of 2022? Because of things that you just heard in that audio clip right now. We have been exposing the lies of the mainstream media, the lies of people like Bill Gates and George Soros and Anthony Fauci. We have been exposing the lies of the Biden administration. We have been exposing the truth about the vaccine. I must have played that clip a dozen times last year from Stefan Olrich. He's the president of Bayer Pharmaceuticals, and he says that it is not a vaccine. It is gene editing technology is what it is. Do you realize that 80% of the United States of America has been vaccinated twice? And 68.8% of America has received a third and fourth booster. And do you realize in that clip that I just played for you, everything that they told you in their own words was contradicted in their own words less than a year and a half after they originally said those things? Now, what they're hoping for is they're hoping that you have a very short memory. They're hoping that you won't compare the things that they have said. They're hoping that you won't remember that they told you that you had to get the vaccine. And if you got the vaccine, you would stop the spread. Well, you just heard them say in their own words that the vaccine does not stop the spread of COVID. And we did that story just a couple of weeks ago, and we showed you that the majority of vaccinated people have gotten COVID, and the majority of the number of people with COVID in the hospital right now are the vaccinated people. So one thing that we're going to be very, very awake and aware of in 2023 is, because I believe that there's something that they're getting ready to launch something else. Do you remember that story that we did from last week? And it was an article. Remember when we told you about something called Event 201? And that took place in the third week of October in 2019. And Event 201 imagined what it would be like with a global catastrophe by a contagious outbreak. And we reported on that. We were one of the very first people to tell you about Event 201. And then, of course, it became quite commonplace. But did you know, and you should know because we told you about this on December 16th, but did you know that this past October, Bill Gates did it again? Bill Gates held something called the Catastrophic Contagion Pandemic Preparedness exercise. That's a mouthful. Bill Gates held back just a couple of months ago in October of 2022, he held something called the Catastrophic Contagion Pandemic Preparedness Exercise. And if you think that Bill Gates is all done, if you think that Anthony Fauci is all done, you would be very, very much mistaken. And the fact that they held another one of their contagion exercises, you know what that tells me? That tells me that they're, I mean, to quote Britney Spears from the 1990s, oops, I did it again. That tells me that they're getting ready to do it again. Remember this from last year? Bill Gates, he called for the creation of a germ team.
Amazingly, today, we do not have a large global organization dedicated to preventing pandemics. There are some part-time efforts. The WHO helps the world with lots of health issues, but it hasn't been given the resources to have this dedicated team. We need to create this group with full-time paid experts who are constantly tracking disease outbreaks. I call this the Global Epidemic Response and Mobilization Team. And so the acronym is GERM. The GERM team will actively monitor potential health threats all over the world. Data scientists would see where there are clusters of suspicious cases. Epidemiologists would monitor reports from national governments to identify anything that could be an outbreak. We'll have disease modelers gathering the data to do accurate projections. Product development experts will work with governments and companies. We need more work on diagnostics, therapeutics, and vaccines that we can scale up with very short notice. And we'll have policy experts making sure that every country has the right approach. The team will need to regularly organize outbreak simulations, germ games that test the global response system and finds the weak spots. We do that for war, we do that for fire, we do that for earthquakes, and now we need to make sure we do it for pandemics. This team would keep their skills fresh to help you get rid of polio, get rid of malaria, get rid of measles and other infectious diseases. So they'll have immense value even in the years where we don't have a pandemic threat. I think it's a critical step to build this germ team, making sure we're ready for the next pandemic.
Now, one thing that they did not tell you in 2020, they did not tell you in 2021. They did not tell you in 2022. And you can quote me on this. They're not going to tell you in 2023. What do you need to do to get ready for the next pandemic? What medicine do you need to take? Well, the answer is not medicine. The answer is strengthening your immune system. And vitamins, the type of vitamins that you need to strengthen your immune system are not expensive. Vitamin D3 is cheap. Magnesium is cheap. Vitamin C is not expensive. So, Berta Crabb says you need to get saved. Amen. You absolutely do, spiritually. But I'm talking about your physical human body. They will never tell you, ever, ever, ever tell you that you need to strengthen your immune system. Anthony Fauci did not say that one time. The CDC did not say that one time. The National Institute of Health did not say that one single time. Why aren't they telling you what you need to do? It's because they don't want you healthy. They want you to become a slave to their pharmaceutical products. Now, Time Magazine did an article last week. This was the headline from Time magazine, "The White Supremacist Origins of Exercise and Six Other Surprising Facts About the History of U.S. Physical Fitness." So not only are they not telling you to work out, they're not telling you to take vitamins and take minerals. They're not telling you to stay away from garbage and junk food. You know that Coca-Cola is one of the worst things that you could ever put in your body? You should never drink Coca-Cola, ever, ever, for any reason. But that pales in comparison to what the rest of these things will do to you. So, just last week, Time magazine had an article called "The White Supremacist Origins of Exercise." So, they want you to believe in 2023 that if you want to get in shape, if you want to get strong, if you want to be physically fit, it's because you are a white supremacist. And I'll read to you from the Daily Mail article on that. They wrote, "Time magazine has been ruthlessly mocked for an article saying that the origins of exercise are rooted in racism. The piece, titled "The White Supremacist Origins of Exercise," preaches the activity as a pastime that began in the early 1900s by white Americans who sought to strengthen their race amid increasing immigration and the abolition of slavery." Why would Time magazine be doing an article like that? Don't you think that, look, I understand that they're liberal, but are they really so stupid? Are they really so clueless that they would say that exercise proves that you're a white supremacist? No, they're not clueless, and they're not stupid. This is all part of the plan. They want you to be afraid. They want you to be cowering. They want you to be hiding. They want you to be fearful. They want you to believe that the only thing that can keep you safe is the government. That's what they want you to believe. And don't you believe that for a single second, because the government cannot keep you safe. The government cannot keep you healthy. God gave you an immune system. And what you have to do with that immune system is you have to feed that immune system on a daily basis. Take a listen to what happens when you trust the science.
You know, if you were to follow a busy doctor as he makes his daily round of calls, you'd find yourself having a mighty busy time keeping up with him. Time out, for many men of medicine, usually means just long enough to enjoy a cigarette. And because they know what a pleasure it is to smoke a mild, good-tasting cigarette, they're particular about the brand they choose. In a repeated national survey, doctors in all branches of medicine, doctors in all parts of the country were asked, "What cigarette do you smoke, doctor?" Once again, the brand named most was Camel. Yes, according to this repeated nationwide survey, more doctors smoke Camels than any other cigarette. Why not change to Camels for the next 30 days and see what a difference it makes in your smoking enjoyment? See how Camels agree with your throat. See how mild and good-tasting a cigarette can be.
Now, that was taken from a TV commercial in the early 1950s. My mom and my dad graduated from high school in the mid-1940s. They believed the scientists. They believed the doctors. My dad started smoking when he was in high school. My mom started smoking when she was in high school. You just heard that commercial telling you to trust the doctors, trust the science, and start lighting up and start smoking. What did my dad die of? Stage 4 lung cancer. What did my mom die of? Stage 4 lung cancer. This is what happens when you trust the science. Don't trust science. Don't trust scientists. Trust God. And trust your King James Bible. And you know what your King James Bible has to say about science? Have you ever looked at what your Bible has to say about science? 1 Timothy 6:20. O Timothy, keep that which is committed to thy trust. Avoiding profane and vain babblings and oppositions of science, falsely so called, which some professing have erred concerning the faith. Grace be with thee. Amen. The Bible tells you to avoid the claims of science. Now, here's another claim of science. For those of you who were alive in the 1970s, you may or may not remember the blizzard of 1977. I was 16 at the time, and I remember that blizzard very, very well. School was closed for an entire week. The snowdrifts were 5 to 7 feet high. 2 feet of snow dropped from the sky in 24 hours in the little town of New Jersey where I'm from. I remember the blizzard of 1977 very, very well. Well, Leonard Nimoy had a lot to say about the blizzard of 1977. Science had a lot to say about the blizzard of 1977. Take a listen to this.
At least 8 times in the past million years, it has advanced and retreated with clockwork regularity. If we are unprepared for the next advance, the result could be hunger and death on a scale unprecedented in all of history. What scientists are telling us now is that the threat of an ice age is not as remote as they once thought. During the lifetime of our grandchildren, Arctic cold and perpetual snow could turn most of the inhabitable portions of our planet into a polar desert.
In 1977, the worst winter in a century struck the United States. Arctic cold gripped the Midwest for weeks on end. Great blizzards paralyzed cities of the Northeast. One desperate night in Buffalo, 8 people froze to death in marooned cars. Pat Bushnell was on the road that night.
Traffic just absolutely stopped. I was afraid of being stuck in the car all night long with the cold and the wind, running out of gas. And then what? I think that if we had to go through a real bad winter, just like we just went through, I think we'd have to think about moving someplace else.
Move where? The brutal Buffalo winter might become common all over the United States. Climate experts believe the next ice age is on its way. According to recent evidence, it could come sooner than anyone had expected. At weather stations in the far north, temperatures have been dropping for 30 years. Seacoasts long free of summer ice are now blocked year-round. According to some climatologists, within a lifetime, we might be living in the next ice age. Of the 9 planets in our solar system, only Earth has conditions favorable to human life.
All right, so there you have Leonard Nimoy from Star Trek, 1 year after the blizzard of 1977, and you heard him telling you that scientists and the science says that in the next 30 years, everything could quite possibly be under 5 feet of ice. Well, is that true? What happened 30 years after Leonard Nimoy told you that the science said that an ice age was coming? This is what happened 30 years after Leonard Nimoy said that.
Fora TV, the world is thinking.
It's hard to capture the astonishment that the experts in the science of ice felt when they saw this minimum in 2005, which meant that the amount of ice that had melted, it's been roughly the size of the continental United States minus an area roughly the size of Arizona, nothing against Arizona. But the amount that melted in 2005 was equivalent to an area covering everything east of the Mississippi River in the United States. Then, when the real shock to the scientists came was in 2007, when this happened. Their phrase was, it fell off a cliff. And then the extra amount that melted was this much. Now, this covers the area of ice. It does not cover the volume of the ice, and Bob Correll referred to this. The U.S. Naval Postgraduate School has a team that integrates the U.S. Navy's nuclear submarines that go under the ice cap and satellite measurements that are calibrated to work with it. And based on that, they said actually 2008 had a smaller minimum, probably, than 2007. And these are figures that are fresh. I don't know if they've been, I don't know when they were released, but I just got them yesterday from Dr. Vashlav Maslowski at the Naval Postgraduate School. And this is the volumetric record of the ice. And some of the models suggest to Dr. Maslowski that there is a 75% chance that the entire North Polar ice cap during some of the summer months could be completely ice-free within the next 5 to 7 years. Bob used a figure of 2030, and the volumetric analysis leads this Dr. Maslowski to make that projection. We will find out.
Well, how many years has it been since 1978? About 40 years. How many years has it been since 2009? Well, it's been 14 years. And what do we see? Do we see a coming ice age? No, we do not. Do we see everything being melted down and the polar ice caps disappearing? No, we don't see that either. You want to know what we see? Remember in the first part of this show, I told you that in 2023, I'm going to be 62 years old. That means that the current winter that we are in right now is my 62nd winter that I have experienced. And I thank God for allowing me to live this long and to see everything that he has shown me. And one of the things that God has shown me about the weather, and I've never spent time at MIT. I don't have a college degree. I'm not a PhD. I'm not a scientist. I didn't even play a scientist on TV when I worked at Hollywood. I played a doctor, I didn't play a scientist. But you know what I know about the weather? I know that the weather comes and goes in cycles. It comes and goes in patterns. Every couple of years, it's hot. Every couple of years, it's cold. Every couple of years, it's somewhere in between. Just a couple of years after the blizzard of 1977, we had two or three winters where it didn't even snow at Christmas time. In the late 1980s, I can remember snow on Easter. And when I look back over the last 62 years of winters that I can recall, the last 62 years of winters that God has brought back to my memory. I see cycles. I see patterns. That's what I see. I do not see any type of climate crisis. I do not see any type of impending doom from the sun, the moon, the stars, from the earth's crust, from the earth's core, from the stratus system, from the solar system. I don't see any. Based on 62 years of observation, I do not see any reason for panicking. I can remember back in the 1970s watching the news reports about factories by the airport. Now, if you're from the Northeast, if you've ever spent time in places like New Jersey, Secaucus, Elizabeth, Hackensack, if you've ever driven past the Newark Airport in the 1970s or 80s, you remember the unbelievable amounts of toxic sludge that used to pour out openly from the sewer pipes of these factories by the airport in New Jersey. Now, why am I talking about that? Why am I talking about climate change? Why am I playing a clip from Leonard Nimoy in 1978? Why am I reminding you about the false predictions from Al Gore in 2009? Well, the reason why I'm reminding you about these things on a program looking forward into 2023 from a prophetical point of view, what they're working on is something called the 15-minute city. And we did this article last week, and it went viral. Hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of people logging on to our website to comment about this article. What is a 15-minute city? Well, you better start doing your due diligence. You better start doing your homework and finding out what a 15-minute city is, because it's highly likely that it's going to come to a town near you. The World Economic Forum said this: for longtime urbanists, the 15-minute city seemed to merely repackage the historic urban pattern of development. Walkable, mixed-use districts. Old wine, new bottle, as the saying goes. But for a new framing to ignite a global urbanism movement. Now, what is this global urbanism movement? Well, what they're doing, what they're planning on, and these test cities are going to take place in Australia and England within the first 3 or 4 months of this new year that we're in. And these cities are based on this phony baloney climate change garbage that is very easy to expose. It is very easy to show you that these things are not true, but this is going to be the rationale and the judgment that they are going to exercise in order to force these things upon us. And a 15-minute city, if they actually ever do roll out these things, now, I want you to think about this for just a second. They locked us down in 2020. They locked us down in 2021. They demanded, nations of the world demanded, that people receive a government injection that they did not want to receive. So, based on what they've already done, do you think it's possible that they could institute a 15-minute city where you are not allowed to drive out of your 15-minute zone? Let's just say that you live in your town. Draw a line in any direction that you could get to the end of that line in 15 minutes. That's what a 15-minute city is. And they are not only wargaming this thing. They are getting ready to launch the prototypes. This is actually happening, and 2023 is going to be the year that these things are going to come into existence. So if you want to stay ahead of the curve, you've got to understand what a 15-minute city is. It's all connected with Agenda 2030. It's called the Sustainable Movement. Whenever you hear that expression, sustainable, I want you in your mind to automatically associate that with eating bugs, eating meat that's been grown in a laboratory. I want you to associate the sustainable movement with Soylent Green. That's what I want you to think in your mind when you hear people talking about sustainable cities and a sustainable economy and sustainable food chains and supply chains. I want you to think about those things because that's exactly what they're going to attempt to pull on us in 2023.
Beyond Meat is a scam. Hi, I'm Shannon, and I was a victim of vegan propaganda. Let's play a game. One of these ingredients lists is a Beyond Meat patty, and the other, premium dog food. Can you distinguish between the two? This food revolution is so tasty, even celebrities like Kim K are jumping on board. Billionaires are pushing for the vegan agenda, with toxic substitutes to replace vital animal products. Beyond Meat is cheaper to produce and way more profitable for them. We're being pushed a diet known to onset mental disorders, lower fertility and testosterone levels. Why is this? Even the World Health Organization predicts that we'll be eating a lot less meat by 2030. They tell us that if we want to solve climate change, we must stop eating meat. And yet, only 11% of greenhouse gas emissions are because of agriculture. And about 3% of those emissions are from beef. Hopefully.
So one of the things that you're going to see in 2023, you are going to see the New World Order. And that's who is behind the United Nations. That's who is behind the 2030 agenda, that who is behind the sustainable movement, all of this, the 15-minute city, all of this is being brought to us by the New World Order. And they have shown over the last 3 years that they can exercise their will on us, and the vast majority of people are going to not push back. The vast majority of people are going to take it, and they're going to accept it. That's what the New World Order has figured out. That's what they understand. And that's what's coming in 2023. You are going to see an unbelievable push to get, and it's all going to be based on the phony science of global warming, global cooling, the coming ice age, the coming melting age. However they want to frame it, however they want to rework it, that's exactly what you're going to see coming in 2023, and there's going to be no way around that. Let's switch gears. Let's go to the nation of Israel. Benjamin Netanyahu was miraculously reelected. His doom was predicted. They already had his jail cell picked out for him. And surprise, surprise, he was just sworn in over the weekend. And Benjamin Netanyahu, for the fifth time, is prime minister of the nation of Israel. You want to know where his first official visit is going to be in 2023? Take a listen to this.
Not a major surprise, but indeed this is a long-awaited visit for Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu. He was part of brokering the Abraham Accord signed with the UAE, but he never managed to kind of enter the promised land and visit the UAE as Prime Minister on an official visit, because there were a lot of under the table visits prior to that. This would be the first time now that he is back in office. He will be visiting Abu Dhabi, expected to happen at the beginning of next week. He will meet not only with President Sheikh Mohammed bin Zayed Al Nahyan, but also with a wide array of other Emirati officials. And in the phone call yesterday that MBZ made to Netanyahu congratulating him, he did express his aspiration to strengthen the bilateral ties between the two countries. Last year, they signed a free trade agreement, and trade has boomed between the countries. I imagine that would be a main talking point. Also, issues on Iran and believed also the war on Russia's war in Ukraine.
So there you have the first official state visit of newly appointed, newly elected Prime Minister of Israel, Benjamin Netanyahu. He's going to go to the UAE and he's going to spend some time with Mohammed bin Zayed. That Mohammed bin Zayed, he certainly gets around. You know who one of his best friends is? One of the best friends of Mohammed bin Zayed is Pope Francis. Another one of the best friends of Mohammed bin Zayed is Emmanuel Macron. And now Benjamin Netanyahu, he's going to go and he's going to pay homage to the most powerful man in the Middle East, Crown Prince and President of the UAE, Mohammed bin Zayed. Now, isn't it funny that the Abraham Accords were created by Mohammed bin Zayed, and they were signed off on by Benjamin Netanyahu? Remember this clip from last year? Netanyahu reveals Pfizer biometric database on all Israeli citizens. Let me refresh your memory.
One example, so you'll see, because I don't want to bore you with detailed plans, but they are detailed in my mind. We came out of COVID first. I described that in my book, my conversations with Albert Bourla of Pfizer. And I persuaded him to give tiny Israel the necessary vaccines to get us out first from the COVID. And the reason I could do that is because we have a database, 98%, a medical database, 98% of our population has digitized medical records and little card. And anywhere you go in any hospital in Israel, north, south, doesn't make any difference. Boom, you punch it in, and you know everything about this patient for the last 20 years. I said, we'll use that to tell you whether these vaccines, what do they do to people, not individual people, not with their individual identities, but statistically, what does it do to people with, meningitis? What does it do to people with high blood pressure? What is it, you want to know that. So Israel became, if you will, the lab for Pfizer. And that's how we did it. We got it out and we gave the information to the world. Not only, it's been published in medical magazines and so on. That's
Israel became the lab for Pfizer. Isn't that a terrifying thought? That all the medical information and the DNA swabs and everything that was collected in 2021 and 2022. You just heard Benjamin Netanyahu say that the bodies of the Israeli citizens were the laboratory for Pfizer. Does that terrify you? It scares me a little bit.
A database we have. I intend to bring on that database of personal medical records for entire population. A genetic database, genomes, okay? Give me a saliva sample, volunteer. But I'm sure most people would do it. Maybe we'll pay them. Now we have a genetic record on a medical record of a robust population. You have to have diversified populations. We have people from 100 lands. This is a very powerful engine. Now let pharma companies, let medical companies, let them run algorithms on this database, okay? I'm telling you right away that I'll give preference for a few years to Israeli firms. But
so what he's telling you, He's telling you that all the genetic information that was gathered from every single, 98% of every person living in Israel, all of their genetic information was gathered, stored, recorded, and given to Pfizer for them to create algorithms. Now, what do you think that Pfizer is going to do with that information? What sort of blessing to humanity do you think that Pfizer is going to bestow on all of us when they have had enough time to run all of that information, all of the genetic information on 90% of every Israeli citizen on the face of the earth? Israel just gave it to them and said, you take it, you work with it, you do anything you want to do, and then you spit something back out and inject it into our bodies. Now, the one thing that you need to understand about Bible prophecy is that Israel is always the time clock for Bible prophecy. America, no, we may look like Sodom. We may act like Babylon. America is not Mystery Babylon. America is not the timepiece of Bible prophecy. Israel and the Jewish people and Jerusalem, the holy city, the city of the great king, the city of David, the place where the Bible says God has placed his name. Berta Crabb, she just figured out where I'm going. Revelation 13, the mark of the beast. This is, and Netanyahu was just miraculously reelected. So when you put all these things together, where do you think all this is leading for 2023? Where do you think we're actually headed? We're headed toward the mark of the beast. We're headed towards the mark of the beast system. And all you have to do is just wait for the beast to show up. Now, while we're waiting for the beast to show up, and you and I who are saved, we're not waiting for the beast. We are waiting for Jesus Christ. You ever watch The Simpsons? Back in 2010, The Simpsons had an episode called The Fool Monty. You want to take a listen to what The Simpsons had to say 13 years ago? This is what we call predictive programming. Take a listen to an episode of The Simpsons called The Fool Monty from 2010.
I'd like to call to order this secret conclave of America's media empires. We're here to come up with the next phony baloney crisis to put Americans back where they belong, in dark rooms glued to their televisions too terrified to skip the commercials.
Well, I think...
NBC, you are here to listen and not speak. I think we should go with a good old-fashioned public health scare.
A new disease. No one's immune. It's like the summer of the shark, except instead of a shark, it's an epidemic. And instead of summer, it's all the time.
Now, I hate to be the guy who derails what everybody else loves.
He loves being that guy.
But, Janice, we do have standards. This can't be a made-up disease. The only moral thing to do is release a deadly virus into the general public.
We do have something we've been holding on to, but it hasn't been tested. Get over here, NBC.
Well, we certainly believe in testing, but I... Wow.
Yeah. So, we've got our deadly disease.
We have to burn everything the cat touched before the virus makes us paranoid!
Homer! Stop burning! They have a vaccine!
All right, we'll get the vaccine. Don't worry, people. We have enough vaccines for one child per family.
Oh, I don't even have a kid that I admit
Please
to
use your time in line wisely to Sophie's Choice, your child.
What a crook!
And there you have, from 2010, from The Simpsons, of all people. They told you what was coming. You know what we call that? We call that predictive programming. Now, we know that the Mark of the Beast is coming. They've been telling us this for the last 4 or 5 decades. And for the past 1 or 2 decades, social media, cartoons, Netflix, Hulu, Amazon Prime, they've all been getting you ready for an injectable mark.
Charter City is stunned by the sudden rollout of Rook Unlimited's most fantastic device ever. The Smart Mark. Throw your other devices away, because the Smart Mark is more than just a phone. It's part of you. Use it as cash. Book your travel. And even shoot video. Distribution points are all over the city. And don't let the lines discourage you. The Rook Unlimited Smart Mark is worth the wait.
I never realized how wonderful technology could make me feel. The Smart Mark has brought order to my life.
And the best part? It's absolutely free. A gift of thanks to our city from Rook Unlimited.
23% of the population has been given the Smart Mark, number one.
Time to test our system, number six. The Flex Fighters are out there somewhere. Teaming up with Jonathan Rook, let's put our new recruits to work. Subtly.
We should find the Flex Fighters.
I ought to find the Flex Fighters.
We should find the Flex Fighters. We should find the Flex Fighters.
Well, you get the idea. That was a Netflix cartoon. A cartoon called Stretch Armstrong, showing people lining up to take the Smart Mark implantable digital identification. So now when you connect all these things, you take the climate change scam, sustainable development, the 2030 agenda, the United Nations, Bill Gates, Anthony Fauci, Benjamin Netanyahu, the nation of Israel being used as a laboratory for companies like Pfizer. When you put all these things together, what do you get? Well, you get what we're going to see in 2023. Israel is always going to be the driver in end times Bible prophecy. If you want to see where God is working, just take a look at the condition and the nature and the status of the state of Israel, and you'll see pretty quickly what's going on. So, when we look forward over the next 12 months, we see sustained and increased activity from the New World Order. We see sustained and increased activity headed towards the Mark of the Beast and the Mark of the Beast system. And this world is absolutely on track for the start of the time of Jacob's trouble. And these things, they're hoping that you don't remember the events of the last 2.5 years. They're hoping that the fact that they've allowed you out of lockdown, that you're going to be so grateful to go back to worshiping your sports teams and going to concerts and worshiping your stars and your celebrities. They're really counting on the fact that you'll be so eager to go back to your old life that you're going to stop paying attention to what they're doing. And what are they doing? They're doing exactly what we've been doing. This is the third year of this podcast. We started the Prophecy News podcast because people demanded, they literally demanded, they would call me up, they would message me, they would send me emails. This is crazy. You got to do a podcast. So we started the Prophecy News podcast in the closing days of 2020 So that we could have a forum where we keep our eye on everything that's going on. And we're not going to let you forget. We're not going to let you forget what they've told you. We're not going to let you forget the lies and the contradictions and the evil intents that they're working on. We're going to be exposing the 15-minute city as we get closer to that. We are going to be exposing the sustainable movement. Don't eat bugs. Don't eat laboratory meat. Don't eat any of that fake garbage that's only going to make you weaker and sicker. That's what they want. They don't want you sustaining and growing your immune system. They want you to say, the only way that I can be safe is my government has to keep me safe, whatever country that you live in. They want you to think that the only way that you could fight any disease is with an injection from their laboratories. And remember, Bill Gates, his October 2020 catastrophic contagion for pandemic preparedness, I promise you that something is going to come of that in the next couple of months. They're going to launch something else. I saw an article today. You got to watch out for a new COVID variant called XBB.1.5. XBB.1.5. That's the new one that they are touting. That is going to be a deadly reoccurrence of COVID, a new mutated strain, XBB.1.5. You need to work on your immune system. You need to get rest. You need to get exercise. You need to get healthy for 2023. And most of all, you need to throw yourself at the foot of the Savior, Jesus Christ, and say, Lord, have mercy on me. Give me grace. Give me truth. Saturate me in your word. That's what you need to do for 2023. And we are not waiting for Antichrist. We're waiting for Jesus Christ. And we're looking up to the eastern sky. Let me tell you this before we go. And I'm going to be doing an article about this as soon as the podcast is done today. But something really amazing has happened in Israel. The Israeli Antiquities Authority, the Israel National Parks Authority, and the City of David Foundation announced just a couple of days ago that the biblical Pool of Siloam, a site cherished by Christians and Jews, is going to be opened to the public for the first time in 2,000 years. Now, I want you to tune in to our Bible study on Wednesday night, and we're going to be talking about the connection between the Pool of Siloam and the coming rebuilt temple in Jerusalem. There is absolutely a connection between those two things. But suffice to say, in the meantime, for the first time in 2,000 years, the Pool of Siloam is going to be opened to the public. And this, to me, is every bit as exciting as what Benjamin Netanyahu said about using the Israeli citizens as a database for Pfizer. There is a reason why the Pool of Siloam in Israel, in Jerusalem, is about to be reopened to the public. And I want you to tune in to our Wednesday night Bible study, and we're going to talk about this in great, wonderful, beautiful detail and its connection to the coming rebuilt temple in Israel. And with that, we've come to the end of our time for today. I hope that you're wide awake. I hope you're in the game. The war is real. The battle is hot. And the time is short. And I'm calling each and every one of you, including myself, to the fight. Because 2023 is going to be a crazy, crazy year. And we need to band together as a church family. We need to get ourselves right with God and right with the Bible and right with the Lord. And we need to hold the line. We are fourth quarter Christians. And we need to hold the line. And we need to do what God has called us to do as we wait for that blessed hope. And we're not going to sit around twiddling our thumbs. We're not going to sit with our heads down. We're going to be brave and bold and strong and looking for that blessed hope. And while we wait, Paul says to Timothy, preach the word, be instant in season, out of season. And that's exactly what we're going to do by his grace and power as we wait for that blessed hope. Thank you, everybody. Lord willing, we'll see you back here Wednesday night, 7 p.m. Eastern time, for another edition of our Rightly Dividing King James Bible study, where we will show you the connection between the Pool of Siloam and the coming temple in Jerusalem. Have a great week, everybody. To the fight!
Disappointed? Are you desperate for help? You know what it's like to be tired and only a shell of yourself. Will you start to believe you don't have what it takes? 'Cause it's all you can do just to move, much less finish the race. Don't forget what lies ahead. Almost hope, brother, it won't be long. Soon all your burdens will be gone. With all your strength, sister, run loud and free. Hold up your head. Heaven to us, but make no mistake, there's still more to come when our flesh and our bone are no longer between where we are right now and where we're meant to be.